You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Hello, folks. It's that time of the week again. It's me, Richard McCall, here in Bogota for Columbia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network with Escape Artist. And we've got a great show in store for you this week, folks. I mean, all of those listeners out there, and thank you to those who've written letters and gotten in touch about people who are possibly up and in line to be interviewed, and of course about past interviews. But anyway, we've got a great show because it's the first time we're getting someone who is really truly distant from these shores on the show. The guest this week is Jessica Wong, who is half Chinese, half English, and she's living here in Bogota with her Colombian better half. Anyway, so it's a story of true cultural differences. And you can see her work on her website, that's onechineseincolombia.com. But we're going to talk to her a little bit more about life in Colombia and, of course, the reactions to her moving over here, what she does here, and so on. And because she's from such a different place, really, you know, it's very interesting to find out what she's experiencing here because, you know, several years in, you forget about some of these cultural nuances and the differences taking place and what might affect you. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be discussing this week. I hope you enjoyed last week's show and the weeks before. I've got another few literary people up in the pipeline, and hopefully at some point we'll be getting Ian McKinley, who works in the Canadian Embassy, but he's just published this week The Gallows Gem of Pralin. That's his book that he's launching, so we hope to get him on there and talk a little bit about his life and what he does at the Canadian Embassy here in Colombia, but also his life as a writer. And then next week we're having the Great British Cider Company on the show. It's people who are bringing cider to these shores. That's a bold move, but of course one that's greatly appreciated in this section of Chapinero. I am very happy that there is now cider in my local bar, pub, slash whatever you might call it, restaurant. Anyway, so what's been going on in Colombia? Well, everything has been dominated by the suspension of the peace talks that happened on November 16th, if I'm not wrong. Anyway, for 2 weeks, a general and two of his companions were kidnapped in the town of Las Mercedes, so about 30 minutes boat ride from the departmental capital of Quibdó. Now, I've been out to Quibdó. I know that area. It's a, you know, it's a different part. Chocó is one of the best parts of Colombia for me, for travel, for environmental, for nature, for checking out the ecosystem. But it's also one of the most strife-ridden parts of Colombia, the Chocó. Anyway, so there's still questions remain about what the general was doing without his normal security detail and without military clothing. He was addressed as a civilian in a small town and was taken by the guerrillas, the FARC guerrillas. So the peace talks with the FARC were suspended on November 16th. They will be started up again. The general was released on Sunday with his friends, his companions in a small town, let's say a few hours north of Quibdó, up a tributary river, the Arquímedes River or Arquiles River off the Atrato River. Anyway, so it's all a bit of intrigue. I'm putting it all into context. 2 years of peace dialogues in the shape of things, this is not a long time when we're trying to resolve more than 50 years of conflict. Anyway, so, you know, wherever you stand, it's got to be a good thing that the peace dialogues are re-established between the FARC and their government there. It's been an interesting week for me too. I've been fixing for a Canadian journalist, the editor of the Latin American section of the Globe and Mail. She's based in Rio. Her name's Stephanie Nolan, but she's been up here in Colombia, in Bogota and Tumaco for the last 6 days researching on stories. And with her, I've got to meet some very interesting politicians, one of which is the outspoken Ivan Cepeda. So, Some of you out there will recognize his name. I got to speak to him. We've also spoken to Rodrigo Brimini, who's a specialist in human rights. Of course, one of my old professors as well, Pedro Valenzuela. That was a great treat to see him again. And these meetings are ongoing, but hopefully there'll be some good copy coming out in Canada's The Globe and Mail in weeks to come. And of course, we did cover Bogota's graffiti scene. There will be mentions made of DJ Lou, Juega Siempre, of course, Chris Peterson, and the good folk at Trama, which is down there in Teusaquillo, a kind of like a arty design store. Anyway, so that's what's going on. If you want to get in touch with me, that's columbiacalling@gmail.com, and of course you can go through our website, that's Columbia Calling Radio, and we're on Twitter, Columbia Calling. So don't go away, we'll be right back with Jessica Wong. That's One Chinese in Columbia.com. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Enjoy the show.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're here with Jessica Wong, who this week is our very special guest on the show. And it's a great pleasure to have you here, Jessica.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Now, Jessica, you do a blog. It's One Chinese in Columbia, and
yes,
it's very popular.
As far as I can tell.
It is very popular. It's a different perspective. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to be here in Columbia.
Okay, so I'm from Hong Kong originally, and I've lived in England for 10 years, more or less, and I came here 2 years ago. So I met someone who is Colombian in Hong Kong when I went back to Hong Kong 4 years ago, and he stole my heart, so now we're here.
So you're married to a Colombian?
Yes.
Oh, right, so you're here indefinitely?
I'm not sure I can say yes to that, but we're here so far, okay. As we know.
And how's life here in Colombia been for you? I mean, how's it going 2 years in?
Well, to begin with, you have the normal problems of moving to another country, especially a developing country, but now we are really getting used to it, mm-hmm. So it's really easy.
Okay, yeah. And you're Spanish?
More or less. I can communicate with taxi drivers and people who are selling street foods on the streets.
Well, that's good. I mean, because taxi drivers are about the most important people. You need to get that message across too.
That's probably the case.
Okay, and so what inspired you to set up your blogs? It's onechineseincolumbia.com, right?
Yes,
okay,
onechineseincolumbia.com.
And so what inspired you to set this up?
Well, when I came, as you're foreign, you really... you really get alerted by everything because your senses become more sharp and you really think everything is different. Uh-huh. So when I came here, I thought, this is different, the food is different, people behave differently. So, and also when you are living in another country, when you first move, all your friends, maybe 10, 20, 30, ask you, what's going on? So instead of writing 30 emails, you can just write one email or one note.
One note up there on the blog, so you're keeping everyone. And how did your family react to you saying, I'm going to go and live now, I'm following my heart to Colombia?
Yes, that wasn't easy. No, that wasn't easy. So I'm from Hong Kong originally, and when I moved here, I was in Hong Kong. So my parents... they don't know anything about Colombia or Hong Kong or China or Asia. We don't know much about Latin America except Brazil. Uh-huh. So they were, all they knew, which is not really a nice thing for Colombia, was cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't know who the people are, how they look like, what they eat, what kind of cities you have. So it was... not easy, mm-hmm. Yeah. But they came in February this year, and they saw Bogota and they saw Cartagena, and they had a chance to visit the coffee region, and the perception of Colombia really changed. So now for them, Colombia is a normal country.
And of course, this is the best advertising that Colombia can have.
Yes.
You know, your parents coming over and seeing that you're not living in a jungle. You know,
exactly. That's what they thought.
Of course,
yeah.
Everyone always does.
Yes.
That's the thing.
So now they realize Bogota is a real city.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sure they're absolutely relieved.
Yes, they are.
Okay, so that's scandal. So you're like the black sheep in the family for having left.
Yes, definitely, yes.
And do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have a brother.
And has he come?
He came with them in February, so he had the chance to see how I live. And
so security, he came with your parents, the three of them together.
Yes. So I had to give them briefing on what to do when they go out, when they take the taxi, when they go to La Candelaria. So I had to give them preparation. Yeah.
No, forgive me for asking. I mean, you're let's say you're from Hong Kong, so you are exotic here in Colombia.
Yeah, would say so. Yes.
It's not normal to see people from Hong Kong here.
No, have you
found a community?
Yeah. Sadly, no. I know there are some Chinese around, and you walk on the streets now, and you get more and more Chinese now because of business like Huawei and Taiwanese company, that ZTE. So, and you get lots of Koreans because of LG and Samsung, and some Japanese. So you go around the streets and you get people asking you, oh, are you Korean? And because you have Korean soap opera in the afternoon here now.
Really?
In Bogota. Yes.
Well, tell me more about this Korean soap opera.
So
I know nothing about it.
They are more familiar with maybe, if they see an Asian, they would ask you, oh, are you from Japan? Okay. So then you would say, oh, I'm from Hong Kong. And they would say, oh, do you speak Japanese?
Yes.
So it's true that I'm exotic looking, and you get a lot of stares on the streets.
Well, I can give you an anecdote of what happened in Mompos, in my small town. Amongst the first guests we had way back in 2008, one was a Japanese American girl, and they'd never seen a Japanese person in the town before.
Exactly.
And
then finally, so what did they do?
Well, we were sitting outside having a beer, and one girl, a little girl neighbor, came past, and came about 10 centimeters from her face to stare at her, and then went running away. And then suddenly there was a whole line of children all going past. But because it's not something negative. They'd just never seen someone, and they couldn't understand that she was American. I mean,
they can't understand I'm British. Oh, you're Chinese. Oh, you're Japanese, but you're British?
How could you be British? Yeah. But then again, I've had some friends or some acquaintances here of, like, let's say, Indian descent. And of course, they're coming here. How come you're English? You're an Hindu,
It's impossible for them.
But that's the nature of the country. It's not being open.
So, I have a friend who's blonde, English, and once she visited Beijing. So she, everyone came close to stare at her. And it's quite common. And I could imagine that it would happen to me. It's happening to me now, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And the other day I was practicing Tai Chi in the park.
Yeah.
And five kids, about the age of 5 to 7, they came next to me, like right next to me, maybe 1 meter away, and they started imitating my moves. So it looked like I was teaching a bunch of kids. And then after 5 minutes, I started asking them to go to their parents, and they said, no.
No, just like that, no.
Yeah, and they came closer. So I guess it's very common for people to be surprised.
But there's no real sense of personal space here. That's the truth of it. I think the vision of you doing Tai Chi probably in the then five children around you, I think that'd be very amusing.
Yes, it's quite amusing, and they made me laugh, and to begin with they spoke Spanish to me.
Yeah.
And then they started speaking English.
Okay.
They asked me if I spoke English, and I just ignored them, but they didn't go away, so they spent half an hour with me.
So your relaxing Tai Chi session was damaged, let's say.
that's right, actually.
Well, I think maybe, over time they'll get used to it, and then they won't bother you so much until a new generation comes, and then another generation.
In a decade, yeah.
But talking about Asian people here in Colombia, I think we see the most, usually from the Chinese embassy, and they're usually in Palo Camao in the market buying ingredients.
Really?
That's where I end up seeing most.
I go to Palo Camao too.
Maybe
but
on a Saturday though.
Them.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yes. So I'm very happy if I see Chinese around. So I've actually, because in the past you get you got less Chinese, and now you get more of them everywhere. And in the past I used to go up to them and say, excuse me, do you mind if I talk to you? Are you from China? And they would say, no, I'm from Korea.
So, really?
Yeah, I was trying to make some friends, and it never worked.
Well, I can understand, to have someone with a shared cultural background. Yes, it's difficult, Even me, background in Latin America for a long time, I need to sit down and speak English with someone, every now and then.
Exactly.
And just you know, it's just easier. I mean, you're in a... It's a much different, much greater situation than I am, I have to say.
And it's not just the language, it's about the understanding of each other. So.
Yeah, it's the nuances, the culture, and so on. So I think very interesting. So you're very brave. You must be very much in love. So there we go. Very good that you come over and do this. And now tell us, what do you do here in Colombia?
I teach English, and then I coach business communication. So mostly I work with executives and managers in international companies who need to speak English.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's quite nice because I never taught English in the past, and it's something that I found here because when I first arrived, I didn't speak any Spanish. Mm-hmm. I didn't speak Spanish, and I had to do something.
Yes.
So teaching English was the only thing, and I started teaching, and I started getting students asking me for help with presentations, interviews, and teleconferences. And
nice.
The feedback was good, so I specialized in this area.
And so I know that you went to UCL in University College London.
Yes.
What did you study there?
I studied history of art.
Okay, so that's brought you a long way to Colombia.
Yes, quite a long way. I never studied Latin American art.
But there's a lot of art. There's art's art. That's fantastic. So now you're teaching English, but, you know, we're talking top end. We're talking, you know, proper business English and so on.
Yes.
And you, does the cultural difference... does it create problems for you to make friends with your clients, let's say, or has this been okay?
No, I think what happens is that Colombians in general, they admire the developed countries or the rich world, and they think they have a lot to learn from it. So when you are foreign, it's actually an asset. Mm-hmm. And they think, oh, you're cool, oh, tell me about your culture, what's going on in England. And because I am half-half, I have the Chinese roots and I have the British influence, so I share a lot of insights with them. So actually, because of that, I've made many friends with my students. Yeah,
very good.
It's very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I was lucky.
It makes life just that much easier.
Yes.
You know, that's true. Very good. I think that's fascinating. And do you get requests to teach? I mean, do you speak? Is it Mandarin or Cantonese?
Yeah, Mandarin.
Okay.
So and Cantonese in Hong Kong.
Okay.
Yes. So I speak both.
Wow. So you must be getting requests to teach.
I get asked the questions a lot. Yeah. So, do you speak Mandarin? Oh, do you teach Mandarin? Yeah, I get asked.
But you don't teach.
But no, because the demand for English is much bigger than the demand for Chinese, and I like to teach serious people who are learning something because of some specific purpose. Because it's easy to teach someone who need the language or they need the skill. Whereas if they learn Chinese, most of the time it's because they're curious. Yeah. So in turn, I actually ask them, what exactly do you need Chinese for? What's your objective? And in the end, they don't turn up. They don't. They decide not to because there's a bigger need to improve their English than learning another language.
Well, this will change, I think.
Yes, it will change.
It will change.
Yes,
because things are changing as we speak.
So as soon as they have polished their English, I think Mandarin is the next thing to come. And a lot of them have taken classes in Los Andes and some Chinese teaching centers. So
actually, that was one thing. I have seen Chinese students in Los Andes. I have seen, you know, that's in Los Angeles.
Them,
For those who don't know out there, it's one of the most prestigious universities here in Bogota, routinely coming out number one in the rankings for all sorts of academics and so on. So, but we're seeing more and more. I mean, Colombia's changing. You know, you'd say, you look for Chinese people and they turned out to be Koreans and so on.
Yeah.
10 years ago, let's say, when I first came to Colombia just for work.
That would have been less,
More time than that. 1998, when I first came just to work a contract. When you saw another foreigner, like even a Westerner, you'd stop them in the streets. Because the conflict was so bad, nobody came.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
Now it's, you know, obviously things are getting better.
The real brave one. Not me. Yes.
I didn't tell my parents what I was doing. That was the time. I was like, no, I just got some meetings in Cali and stuff, but I didn't tell them I was out on the Pacific coast studying things.
Yes.
That's another story.
So, they are more common now, the foreigners like us. We are more common. So.
And you'll become. So soon we'll see you setting up your own Mandarin and Cantonese academy here,
hopefully.
I think
that's going to be my new business.
Really? You're actually thinking of it?
No, when there's a need, I'll respond to it.
Oh, very good. And so have you had a chance to go back to Hong Kong since you've been here? Or
Yeah, just last month.
Oh,
yeah. After the 2 years, I went back to Hong Kong in October. And it was nice to see everyone.
It's good, isn't it? And you were back in London as well for a short visit.
Yes, for a short visit. Yeah, after 4 years of leaving. Yeah.
So it's good to touch base, and it's good to go through it. So you sort of saw all your old friends and everything.
Yeah, it's good to have clotted cream.
Clotted, that comes from where I went to university. Devonshire clotted cream.
Yes. I missed it.
Very funny. I don't think I ever ate it.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no, you need to go back to London now.
I'm just too fat. Anyway, so that's very good. We're going to take a short break now, but we're talking to Jessica Wong, who's here in Colombia, living here. She's been here for 2 years, but we've sort of got in touch via her website, which is One Chinese in Colombia, onechineseincolombia.com. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to continue talking about some cultural nuances that Jessica has, you know, discovered and elaborated on in her blog. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Don't go away. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We're here with Jessica Wong. We've been talking about her experiences here as, you know, a resident, a native of Hong Kong, or half Chinese, half English, here in Colombia. I mean, it's not usual, but this is very, very keenly observed on your blog, onechineseincolombia.com. And it's a nice take on things that I've forgotten about. And that's the truth of it. And I've written down some ideas, you know, some of the titles of your blog. One of them, of course, is how to say no in Bogota. And tell us a little bit about that, because, you know, I know all about it, but the listeners may not.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's because of the mountain people. Yeah, Bogota, if we haven't forgotten, is actually on 2,600 meter high. Yeah, it's on a mountain. And so we may be in a tropical country, but people have the mountain temperament, and they are very indirect and polite. So actually, they don't say no. They say yes, maybe, and I'll think about it. And when you ask them, oh, let's meet for dinner, and they will say, oh yeah, call me. So then you call them, and they will arrange another time, and they'll cancel and postpone, and so you never know if they really they really mean it. But I have to say, they are really polite, so actually they really mean it when they want to meet you, and they are very nice people. Yeah. So the problem is with the city, you have the traffic, you have problems with transport, you have security issues. So it's not easy for people to go around. So sometimes when things are cancelled, it's normal because you have the rain, and on a Friday you can't get a taxi.
Ever.
And
ever
you wait for 1 hour, and you can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere.
This is true, but it's quite interesting that, and I think it is related to the, you know, let's say the mountains, let's say, because, I mean, you could ask a policeman something, and rather than tell you something wrong, he'll make up a story. You know, it's true. It's like, do you know how I should get to here? And they'll be going, oh yeah, and he might be telling you something completely fictional, but he wants you to listen to him.
Yes, you know, so that's the problem. And you know, earlier I told you I got a bus here, and actually I got lost, and the bus turned into a different direction because I was listening to people, and I never learned. I was listening to two people's advice, and they turn out to be wrong. And so one of the things I noticed is that if you ask for information, you need to ask five people.
Yes.
Then you are safe. Yeah. Two is not safe.
And then take the average of it.
Yes. Then that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think it's interesting because you've taken on various, let's say, portions of Colombian life. I mean, of course, the things that are interesting to you and so on. I want to address something because I did notice that you had a couple of negative comments on your blog, and they're quite hard. I mean, they're quite serious negative comments.
They could be quite aggressive, but I leave them there because there's freedom of speech, and people have the rights to say whatever they want. And if they were angry, so be it. Yeah. So I'm sorry if I have insulted some people.
But I don't think you were insulting. I think, you know, for example, you were just, you know, putting into print some observations.
Okay.
But I think some Colombians take things very, very personally.
Exactly. So in Colombia, especially, I don't know about other places, because I've been in Bogota most of the time, you have to be careful what you say because they can take things personally. And for example, if you talk about the transport system, and they always have a way to defend the country. Yeah. So, and there, it's good to be optimistic because actually, one thing, one of the beauty of Colombians is that they are one of the happiest people in the world, and so they maybe they are taking the positive side of everything that they have, and so. And what they say to you usually is true. So, for example, if you say, oh, yeah, security is really bad, and they would say, oh, it used to be much worse. Yeah, and then you ask them, you talk about transport system, and they would say that it's already improving. So there's a way to be happy about the situation. It's another way to look at it.
The positive spin on a situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, very good. I like that. I like that. And they are always coming out in the top few, let's say, of happiest countries and so on. And, you know, it's always in things like the Huffington Post. It's always in those sort of things.
Yeah.
And so you were here for the elections. How did you find that? Because you certainly wrote a blog about it called Colombia's Political Soap. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the election this year. You don't have to give me your political views, just how you saw it.
So it's my first time coming across the political situation in Colombia. And I was lucky because I had the chance to be here when it was the presidential election. And what I found was fascinating was that, because I lived in Britain for 10 years, and so the candidates, they were not really talking about policies in the country. They didn't talk about how they can contribute. I mean, in the end, they did, because of obvious reasons, but it was more pointing fingers at each other and creating scandals. So it was really like watching a drama. It was like watching a soap opera. And it's really weird because, in effect, maybe people have no choice. So you only have the three candidates or the four candidates, and Colombians have to choose from what they have. But the pity of Colombia is that the power has been concentrated in a few, you know, the handfuls. And there has been a recurring surnames in the political power. So you really don't have much option.
It's true. I mean, it's completely correct, and that's a very astute comment, that and that the power has been concentrated into just a few families, and it's the same families every time, unfortunately. And it doesn't allow for, let's say, like a democratic process, really. But I mean, this is, we won't get into this too much because it will get me some hate mail here and there, because we started off this conversation talking about the negative comments on your blog. But I do see, I mean, you do leave them up there, which is very brave of you, and you write it's not an apology. You sort of went, well, you know, this is what I see. This is what I saw. You did say sort of, sorry if I offended you, but at no point, but I didn't think, you know, check out the blogs because you'll see these comments, a couple of the comments. And they're not, you know, it's what Jessica writes is not, you know, stabbing at the heart of Colombian culture or personality defect or anything. It's
about cultural difference, and you sense the differences because you're different, and the fact that you are different doesn't mean that it's wrong.
And it's not for a Colombian audience either. For your family and friends.
And for the families and friends. So, for example, maybe I complain that when you meet someone, you have to leverage 15 minutes. You have to leave 15 minutes because 15 minutes is not being late. So it may be really annoying for some people like me or even Germans. But for Colombians, it's normal. And you can't blame them because of the transport problems. So sometimes you just, it's the situation in the country. And I have a problem with this, but I understand it's not easy to overcome.
And I get invited to press conferences, and I go, and because they say 9 o'clock, I'm there at 5 to 9.
Yes, exactly.
And no one arrives until 10 o'clock. You know, and I'm sitting around, but that's not. I take a book now, and I take my pad and my pen.
Yes, yes. And you have a way to go around.
Of course,
it.
We've all got the smartphones, so I actually do my emailing and everything like that. But it's infuriating that. But it's part of the culture.
Yes, it's part of living here, and if when we choose to live here, we have to.
This is true. Suck it up. But I think this is.
this is interesting, but when you said 15 minutes, I didn't think you were going to talk about the traffic. You know, everyone's always 15 minutes late or anything. I thought you were going to think about the 15 minutes that we have to invest into asking about everybody's family members.
Oh,
when you meet a Colombian,
yeah,
you know, the chit-chat.
That as well. Yes, yes, yes. So what you do, so you wait for them for 15 minutes and they turn up maybe half an hour later. And then you say hi to each other. So what do? You say hi to each other for 15 minutes, another 15 minutes. So there are different ways to say hi, and I've got used to it. So even in English, I do it now, that you say, hi, how are you? How is it going? How's everything? How has it been? Okay,
yeah.
And then you can start talking.
How's your mother? How's your father and your brother? Has he got a job?
Yes.
I mean, and it's very nice. It's very polite. But when you just want things to get done,
yes.
You know, and if it's
you take longer
because I, you know, for me, for example, a lot of the times these are formal meetings. You know, formal meetings, sitting down with someone and. And yet I still have to discuss my family situation
and
I believe that, you know, some people have written about this in quite some length, but I've always find it quite hard because I'm not used to that. And I have a very small family.
So what can you say?
So what do I get out of it? Well, you know, and how does it come across? Like, well, you know, both of my parents have passed away. And then they look at me, you know, it's a tragedy.
Yes.
And brothers and sisters, well, you know, sort of kind of passed away as well. And they're like, oh, man. And then suddenly, you know, someone who I only met 5 minutes previously is now party to my whole sort of family debacle.
They know you completely, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So I find that. But you wrote a bit about Bogota Chit Chat. So it's always transport, family, and
the weather. Yeah, because
but,
there's a lot to talk about.
But then, of course,
topics.
You know, you were in England for a long time, and that's all we talk about. Is
yeah, so I got used to that. Yeah, because as Chinese, we don't really say hi to each other at all. Yeah, so let alone speaking for 15 minutes, just inquiring about your welfare.
It's got to be difficult. That's got to be an even bigger step for you than for me. There,
so. So and you know, when you talk to them, I think it's actually a nice thing because you. You have the bond and you inquire about each other, so you become more personal. So the business and personal has mingled together, and this is how you do business here. Yeah.
This is true. This is very true. This is how you do business together.
Yes.
Now, not everything has been positive here for you. I mean, you talk about how much you like it, and you enjoy yourselves, and you've made friends, and you've got a job. But you also had an unpleasant circumstance.
Yeah, a few unpleasant.
I didn't know. The one I know about because I read about it in the City paper.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, you were mugged.
The mugging, yeah.
Not far from, like, P.F. Chang's, I think.
Exactly. It was a wealthy neighborhood.
It was a very good neighborhood.
Yes.
I mean, ambassadorial residences and so on.
Yeah.
I mean, tell us a little bit. I mean, what happened?
Yes. So we were walking in the dark and... I guess it was not a wise thing to do because we were walking at about 11 p.m. and we thought it was the safe route that we were taking, but actually it was dark and so you could have danger everywhere in Bogota, even in the nicest neighborhood. So two men came up and they showed the knives and they were just shouting and asking us for our mobiles. So I tried to run away because, you know, when you are scared, there are two things you do. You fight or you flee. So I ran away, but I hit a lamppost. I just fell on the floor and I didn't know what was going on. So fortunately, they didn't hurt me.
Okay.
Yeah, but that incident is actually something common for everyone here, even for locals. So in a way, you have to say if you haven't got mugged, you can't say you are Bogotano. And now I have, so you learn from it and you never... No da papaya. Yeah, they have a saying that means they don't take any risks, and it's true, you don't take any risks. So even if you are in a rush, maybe you can't get a taxi on your phone app, you still won't take taxi from the street because you don't know when next time you would be on this Paseo Millonarios. And you get mugged.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been mugged and you know, by a little, he was basically a young addict in the street, and he picked up a piece of glass that was on the floor. You know how people just throw their glass out?
Yes.
And so he just picked up a big piece of glass and held it to me, and of course, I keep some sort of loose cash in my pocket, so I always, rather than my wallet, and so I always just gave it over.
Yeah, you know,
it was very
surrender.
Fast. But and at the moment, it didn't bother me. But when I went home, it bothered me. You know, it upset me. I was actually a little bit traumatized by it. And then I started to think that every homeless guy or
You get
addicts,
paranoid.
Yeah, it really did. It took me a long time to get over it.
And yeah.
It sounds weak, but that's what happened.
Yeah, you know, so it took me like 6 months about that. Yeah, so when you go on the street, you are looking over your shoulders and you are paranoid, really. Yeah,
which is upsetting because it's not something that we have, let's say, in London. I mean,
no,
you walk around feeling very secure. Of course, there are very bad areas of London.
Yeah.
But, I have no reason to go to those areas. So
I was going to say that it's interesting because when you tell the locals about the situation, they actually, because maybe they have come across worse scenarios like the plane exploding and the drug war in the 80s and 90s, and so they have come across worse. So when you say to them, you get mugged and people have knives, and they say to you, oh, in London you would have that, and in New York you would have that, you would get killed. But actually, no, it's not as prevalent as Bogota. So
things happen, but Bogota is a different case.
And, yes.
But it's part of the, you know, the package of living here.
It's
it's
part of the package.
Reality, but it's the truth. And I don't know if I want to, you know, develop this any further. I mean, you shared with us this awful situation.
Yeah, it could be really bad.
But you're over it now.
Yeah, right? I'm over it.
Okay,
yes,
I'm
yes.
Glad
and
to hear
you
this.
Learn to be smarter when you're on the streets,
yes.
And you learn to walk faster. Yeah, when you're walking, and you don't walk when you're not supposed to.
Yeah, it's true. Now we've talked a little bit about timekeeping. We've talked about how to say no in Bogota. We've talked about the angry responses to your blog. And the mugging incident, unfortunately. Now, that's one thing that does come up, of course, quite a fair few times on your blog, and of course, it's about transport.
Oh, yes.
And you have a few mentions there of Bogota taxis.
Oh, yeah.
They're terrifying. They're terrifying or fascinating? What would you say?
Okay, so for those who haven't been on these taxis, you have to get ready. If you like roller coaster, then you'll be fine because of the way they drive. And what I've learned is that they drive terribly because they have never maybe taken exams. Like, you don't need to take a test for your license. You just pay some money and that's what you get. So it's actually very dangerous to be on the road, so you have to be alert all the time. You can't think that you have called a taxi and you're safe because you are, and then you play with your mobile because you never know what motorcycles suddenly come across. And so you have to be really careful. Yeah,
it's really careful. And it's one, again, it's a cultural thing, isn't it? I mean, are there any, I guess they drive like this. I mean, I know I've taken taxis in Cairo and that was absolutely terrifying as well. But there was just no respect. Here, at least at some points, they stop at the red lights.
Not all the time. At some
point. And there is a sort of traffic police, although they don't seem to do too much either.
No, they don't. There is the orange light.
Okay.
Yes, right. So you still move between red and yellow.
So you just go faster.
Yes. Right. And it can be quite nice to be on a taxi because you get entertained.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because a lot of them are fitted with big television screens.
Yes.
Yeah, so they play the Latin cheese music.
Yes, this is true. And tell me, so when you get into a taxi, being from Hong Kong, being Chinese, do they immediately always talk to you?
Oh, yeah,
always,
actually.
Yeah?
So, you know, when you are taking taxis here, you have to be careful. So you're always anxious about it. So when they start talking to you, actually, that's a good thing. So now I love it when they talk to me, when they ask me, oh, where are you from? Are you from Japan? And I would be like, okay, this taxi is safe. So I can start talking to them. And that's what you do. You talk to them to keep them, pay attention to them to make sure they are safe and they are good people.
Do you end up telling them that, you know, you're here with a Colombian boy and everything?
Yes. You have to, because they ask you, why are you here? How long have you been here? What do you do here? Oh, do you like Bogota? Do you like Colombia?
Because you have to say yes.
Yes, you have to say yes, yes. So we were saying that Colombian people are very proud about of their country. So they always ask you, after they ask you where you're from, they ask you, do you like Bogota? Mm. Yeah, yeah. So that's it. So you have to say yes, and it's very nice. People are very nice. And do you like dancing? Yes, yes, I love it. I can dance everything. Yes.
So that's a good question. Do you dance salsa and everything?
I dance not like the Colombians, but I dance better than the British.
Well, yeah, it's true. So, I think I dance better than the British, and I dance pretty badly.
Yes, exactly. So I don't dance very well, but I move my body. Yes.
Yeah, you move your body.
And they have so many different styles, of music. So you start talking about it, and the taxi drivers love it.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do because it is a novelty still to see foreign people, and more so to see, as we've been saying all the time, to see a Chinese. So this is fantastic. You should definitely check out Jessica's blog. That's onechineseincolumbia.com. Very nicely laid out, very easy to read.
No, it's not One Chinese anymore. I think I need to change the name of the blog.
No, I quite like it. I don't think you should change it. I think that's fine. And so, I mean, have you had the opportunity in these 2 years to travel around Colombia a little bit?
Oh, actually, yes, I have. Not as much as I'd like, but I've been to the northern coast, like Cartagena, Santa Marta, and Tirona.
Yes.
So these touristy places.
Yes.
And then coffee region.
You took your parents?
Yes,
too.
Yes.
So did you take them out onto a coffee farm?
Yes, and actually we went on a coffee tour, like a cultural tour. So we picked the coffee, we learned how it's roasted. So it was really nice. And actually it was their favorite place
of
Colombia.
Because the climate is wonderful as well. I mean, that's something I really like. Bogota's too cold.
Yes.
The coast can be too hot.
Too hot, yeah.
But the coffee area is just right. I think it's very exciting. So I think you're here indefinitely at the moment.
At the moment.
You're indefinitely here. So this graduate of UCL, half Chinese, half English, exotic addition to the Bogota life is here indefinitely. And it's so nice to hear from someone like you sharing these cultural observations, because it's not every day. You know?
Yeah.
It's not every day. So, is there anything else that, perhaps that we haven't touched on that you would like to share with the listeners out there, something special that if you are away from Colombia, let's say when you went off to London and to Hong Kong recently, what did you miss about Colombia?
My space.
Your space?
Yeah, I went to London to some of my friends' apartments, and then went to Hong Kong to my family's place and some of my friends' apartments, and to be honest, we have much more space here.
Talking about like
Colombia.
Your apartment and stuff.
Yeah,
so, yes.
Yeah. And if you live in London, it's a big contrast. Yeah.
It's
so
true.
And what I think, another thing that I'm very happy about, because now that I live in Colombia, you kind of get attached to a country. Yeah. And I think you would understand that. So, for example, when I was in London, I went to see a friend, and she told me she has a friend who came on a tour of Latin America. And the best country for him was Colombia. And what I liked about this was that you never expect it. So Colombia, we don't have the same reputation as we would with Brazil or Mexico. And actually, a lot of foreigners who have come to Latin America, in the end, they say, oh yeah, Colombia is amazing.
It's
so
true.
I'm very happy to see that.
You know, it's really nice when you get that because of good news, because we're so used to fielding the bad news out of Colombia.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I'm responsible for writing some of it, but that's my job. But it's the truth. It's that, so used to people saying, oh, cocaine, kidnapping.
Yeah.
So when you meet someone in London who says, no, Colombia was the best.
Yeah.
It's really great,
So even though I'm not Colombian, I'm very happy for the country. And with the World Cup, and with James, and with Falcao now playing for English teams, so it's really good for the country.
Well, it's just fantastic, because they've done more. Those players did more for Colombia in let's say 4 weeks than Pro Export have done in 10 years. I'm going to get in real trouble now for saying that, but it's the truth.
It's true. Yes.
They did. They promoted a happy, they played with joy and creativity, and they won over everyone.
Yes.
You know,
so
that's the truth.
It's a really good time for Colombia.
Okay, fantastic. Well, this is very good. Now listen, so for anyone who wants to get in touch and recommend anyone to be interviewed or anything you'd like to hear about, you can get in touch with us at Colombia columbiacalling@gmail.com, and of course via the website, which is columbiacallingradio.com, and we're on Twitter at columbiacalling. We've been talking to Jessica Wong here in Bogota. It's been really interesting, Jessica, so I'd like to say thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time.
and hopefully, you know, when in a couple of years' time, when you're still here, because you will still be here,
hopefully,
we'll get you back on the show and see how your opinions have changed or even improved, or, you know, peaks and troughs, maybe.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Maybe peaks and troughs. So, again, thank you for being on the show, and I hope everyone out there has enjoyed listening to this episode of Columbia Calling. So I've been Richard McCall. This has been Columbia Calling, and thank you for listening.